Blog Talk Radio.
On the mattress.
Hello and welcome to Down the Tube, Really Random Stuff with Miss Darkholm on a Team of Voices. I am your host, Sky. And the Team of Voices is a poetry group located on the largest poetry site in the world, allpoetry.com. And it's free to join. If you like to listen, join in, call, participate. And come knock on our door. It's free to join, like I said. Thank you, Kevin and his crew, for keeping the site up and running, and Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page. And tonight, just as it says in our title, we are talking about some really random stuff. And before I get into that really random stuff, I would like to talk about the opening music a little bit. And it was by Third Eye Blind. And I want something else. And it was originally actually titled I Want Nothing Else, but they changed it. But a song is essentially about falling apart, and it does relate to addiction. There were certain parts that were edited out on the radio version, as well as our version. If you want to see what those parts are, you will have to look at the original. But the song in itself, The Third Eye Blind, it was its first single, and the group name could be referenced. Metaphysical term of the New Age spirituality, referring to the state of enlightenment and associated with clairvoyance, and that's kind of where they got their name. And like I said, the song was originally titled I Want Nothing Else. And no explanation has really been given why it was changed. In 2015, Jenkins asked how he felt about this song. And he said, I don't feel like it's really mine. It's participating in the experience that other people are having with it, which is an interesting view to something that I often say about poetry. That it is yours, but then once you give it out to the world, it is how people react to it. So I think that's interesting how he kind of goes on that belief as well. So that is about it. And without further ado, I have two callers. Hello, Deb and Steven.
Hey, Sky.
Hello.
How are you? Oh.
Hello.
I messed up. It's coming charmed life and it was changed. I messed up on my stuff. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing all right. Just got home from work.
I know. I got a super reader, faster, and runner, so you could beat your show. So we are talking Kraken. Cotton Candy, and Lost in the World Cities. Those were the topics for tonight. So I'm pretty excited. And Stephen brought me a Kraken poem. I actually have a Kraken recording by, of course, Tennyson himself, not read by him, obviously. But we'll get into that later. And for now, just so Stephen can, we don't get any hangry Stephen. I put you right up on the board.
I see that. And I apologize.
Hangry is a real thing.
Yes. This was actually written for a show more than 2 years ago. Then the show never got canceled and never got rescheduled, so this has never been read on the air. So also keep in mind that I believe I wrote this during my first year at All Poetry, so it doesn't... It doesn't match up to the quality of the stuff I write now, I think. But a little gaze at my younger self, right? Even though it was only a few years ago. And this is called The Gaze of the Gorgon. Perseus must save the princess fair. To the Kraken she'll be fed. Her life will not be spared. There's only one way to kill this beast. The quest won't be easy, to say the least. So on Pegasus' wings, Perseus must fly to find another creature far across the sky. Medusa he must find, with her deadly stare, will turn one to stone, must avoid her glare. So find her he does, and with the help of his shield, takes off her head. It's now a weapon to wield. He must get back quick, for this he can't be late. He and Pegasus fly at an alarming rate. He stands before the Kraken, pulls out the Gorgon's head. The beast becomes a statue, the sea monster is dead. Perseus and Andromeda will live happily now. But if the gods get bored, they'll play their games somehow. End poem.
And they do always get bored, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I thought that this is quite brilliant. What was I was reading something Oh, I know what I was doing. I was watching something. Okay, I'm like, I was just watching something the other day. I'm like gearing up for my Monday night prompt, and I started watching a few of my loved episodes of Xena, and I'm like, what was I watching the other day that had to do with all the stuff that it was at? This was brilliant. I love the way, now, just so you know, poetry is timeless and it's always moving. I think this is really good. But it's about whether you're happy with it. If you're not happy with it, you could always go back and change it up a bit. Because we do grow as poets, and I truly believe that. I've been writing for 24 years, and some of my pieces are like, oh, what was I doing here? And some of them are really fast, and then I go back and take a second look, and I'm like, well, I can make this a little bit better. And so never be afraid to do that, although I do. I love how you bring all the aspects in. You bring in the Kraken, and you bring in Medusa and Pegasus. Love, love, love Pegasus. Now, before I finish my comments, because I'm super distracted today, have you ever read the Percy Jackson series? It's a young reader series, but some people have read it even though they're adults. Like, I've read the whole series with my godson. Did you ever read that, the Percy Jackson series? It's like the
I have not.
I
saw the first movie, but I've not read any of them.
Yeah. I have yet to see the second film. They did okay in the film, but they did gear away from the book a little. And, you know, I quite liked the book. But anyway, it was a good series, and it really played on all these, you know, the Medusas and the Pegasus, and I'm very much a fan of such works as these, so I'm really excited that you were able to kind of tell a story, retell a story, rather, in your own words, and of course bringing in, you know, the other characters in these tales. I also really love the Gorgon's head that you brought that in there, and I like how you end it, how you say they're going to play their game somehow. Because you know what? They always do, and they're always trying to trick you. And I don't know what they're doing up there, but they're getting kind of bored. you know, absolutely love it. I love where you went with it again. Storytelling, brilliant. And if I believe, I mean, you're really big. I mean, you have an Argo story. Yeah, you're pretty big on these kind of stories as well, yeah?
Yes, I do like the old mythology type stuff. I haven't read a lot of it, but there's certain ones that I do go back to. And this one was based on the old Harry Hamlin movie, Clash of the Titans, not the remake. I prefer the older one, even though Liam Neeson does say, release the Kraken, better than Laurence Olivier did, but I still like the original better.
I've seen the original one. I remember seeing the original one. I seen it when I was young, but I don't think it stuck. You know, when you get older, things stick more. But when I was in high school, I took Latin. I don't know why I took Latin, but I took Latin. I took like 2 years of Spanish, and then I took Latin, and then I went back to We watched this in our Latin class. So even though I seen it when I was young, I think the first time it actually held, and that it actually held meaning to me, where I was able to really kind of see it as an adult, maybe I think I was in my sophomore year, so not really an adult, but almost, we got to watch it in our Latin class, which was pretty cool. But I did enjoy it, and I never seen the new one, so I don't know about comparing the two, but I do love Liam Neeson, so maybe I will one day. But brilliant piece. I appreciate you bringing it. And, Deb, what do you think?
Well, I actually, because of his disclaimer at the beginning, kept trying to find some kind of a flaw or something to home in on. But it really wasn't there, Stephen. Like, even your storytelling skills were already there. Your rhyme's not forced. I mean, her deadly stare, you must avoid her glare. Stone cold, perfect fit for the topic. You brought in all the details. The flow was nice. Yeah, it's true. We're all our own worst enemies. But, I mean, I've looked back at some of mine from a few years back and thought, oh, my, did I write that? Oh, man. And you can't find that here, so that's a good thing. But I do know that you've gone in more a more variety of directions than just cut and dry. You go abstract, you go story, you go funny, you go dark. So, I mean, your versatility shows big time, but I still think that this was a great poem.
Thank you, Deb.
I like your haunting. Your haunting, scary stories. Besides your nostalgic ones, your haunting, scary stories are always my favorite. I think you do so well with those. So, just one I commented on today, and then, you know, that those two recordings that I absolutely love, I think you do. I mean, you do well all across the board, but if I had to pick my favorite, those two genres I tend to really love. But I know that you have to eat, and I would like you to have a chance to plug any shows or talk about anything you want before you leave.
Yeah, and I am going to hang to hear them too. Let's see. I said I'm going to hang to hear Deb's poem too. Tonight, over at Poetic Slice of Life is Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow, and it's paintings from Leonid Afremov. Beautiful paintings of autumn that Kay found to write to. Check them out. It's going to be a good night. The topic folder is filling up quite a bit. Tomorrow night on the Movement of Sound, it is at 9 p.m. instead of 10 because of the amount of songs that we want to play. And it's the end of summer bash with Jimmy Buffett. So that's always fun. And then, of course, we're doing why You Shouldn't Eat Shark Fin Soup on Friday night, 8 p.m.
Yeah, or fit them. Brilliant. And then while we're at it, on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are talking over at Poetic Slice with me again. You guys are going to be really sick of my voice by the end of the week, I think. A League of Their Own, Tom Hanks and Gina Davis, Madonna. I'm missing another Rosie O'Donnell. Some great actresses, some great actors, some great fun. No homework required, so Deb should be happy fall, and that will make Stephen really happy. I probably will be, like, in the middle of what you're talking about, you know, knowing very little about what you're talking about, but this guy over here will be pretty happy. And, yeah, have fun. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Just remember.
I will. There's no crying in baseball.
No, actually, I was going to say, according to popular belief, that there is crying in baseball, because I still will always remember the picture of Joey Cora crying his eyes out when the Indians beat Seattle in the playoffs in 1995. There's crying in baseball.
Oh, yes, you have no idea what you're saying. You might as well be speaking a foreign language. I would imagine that getting hit by a ball would really hurt. I would probably. When I start taking the kids out to, like, I started with the boys, taking them out playing baseball and stuff like that with them. I got helmets. I got a helmet for me because I got a real baseball, and I'm not going to get hit in the head with it. I'm not going to accidentally smash in the kid's head with the baseball. So they all got helmets, and then when my goddaughter got a little older, she got a helmet too. And, of course, I think we switched to a lighter ball at that point. But they were all had helmets because I got them, like, real, you know, steel baseball bats and the baseball and everything, and we would just play around. And my friend from England, not the one I went to go see, but I have another friend over there. I don't know why I have all these English friends. But she came over here, and the one thing she wanted to do was play. She was like, I want to play some American baseball. I'm like, what, you ever played baseball? She's like, no. I'm like, okay. So I took her and the kids, and we all played a game of baseball. It was fun. I mean, I don't run very well, so. It's like a fake game.
I played I played in high school, and I did have a ground ball take a funny hop on me and hit me right in the eyeball. So I do know how it feels. It doesn't feel good.
Did you look like the guy in the Sandlot, the kid in the Sandlot?
I had a shiner. Yeah, I had a nice black eye for a while. Yes.
You put some steak on it?
Put some steak on it? No, I never do that. Maybe a bag of frozen peas.
Well, I do want to let you know, Deb is in the process of writing or giving me an IOU, I'm not sure. So, I mean, you're welcome to stay, but just so you know, I won't be dropping her right now. But, of course,
okay.
You're welcome to stay, so, or you're welcome to go, and I do thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I'm going to take off that. I'm going to go have my cabbage rolls. Yum, yum.
Okay.
I'll see you all later.
Enjoy your dinner. See you later.
You too, Deb.
All right. I may be talking about the Kraken now because Stephen wrote to it, and I have a little information. And I have a poem. Do you want to hear some Tennyson, Deb?
Say that again, hon.
I said, do you want to hear some Tennyson?
Sure.
Well, the Kraken is a legendary sea monster of gigantic size and a cephalopod like Tyrion in Scandinavian folklore. According to Norse sagas, the Kraken dwells off the coast of Norway and Greenland terrorizes nearby sailors. Authors over the years have published that the legend have originated from sightings of giant squid that may grow up to 13 to 15 meters, 40 to 50 feet in length. The sheer size and fearsome appearance attributed to the Kraken has made it a common ocean-dwelling monster in various fictional works. The Kraken has been the focus of many sailors passing the North Atlantic and especially sailors in the Nordic countries throughout the centuries. The Kraken has been a staple of sailors' superstition and mythos. And the prompt was, what if the Kraken was really alive? So, you know, it'd be fun to think about, to theorize, to say what's going on there. So I am going to play the Kraken. I put the poem on the board, and so anybody who wanted to following along, it's Alfred Tennyson. And I'm going to press play as soon as I get my button situated.
Below the thunders of the upper deep, far, far beneath in the abysmal sea, his ancient, dreamless, uninvaded sleep the Kraken sleepeth. Faint as sunlights flee about his shadowy sides, above him swell huge sponges of millennial growth and height, and far away into the sickly light, from many a wondrous grot and secret cell, unnumbered and enormous polypi winnow with giant arms the slumbering green. There hath he lain for ages, and will lie battening upon huge sea-worms in his sleep, until the latter fire shall heat the deep, then once by man and angels to be seen, in roaring he shall rise and on the surface die.
Brilliant poem. What do you think, Deb? You get
absolutely,
the first comment.
Yeah. the vivid
detail.
Yeah, I didn't know he had a Kraken poem. and I thought an unnumbered and enormous polypi. Winnow? I never heard that word before. Winnow with giant fins. The slumbering green. Winnow. I don't know what that is. But, like, with great details, like the huge sea worms and, that he sees in his sleep and the men, once men and angels that he sees in roaring, he shall rise and on the surface die. I suppose that's when he gets there and Perseus holds that pretty little head up there for him and then he's toast. But wow, I think he did a hell of a job. And far away in this sickly light, it's like, it's just such a creepy thought. Sickly light. Has it got like shadows in it or mist or something that, you know, freaky, creepy? So he's got great details and stuff, especially for brevity. So well done, Mr. Lord Alfred Tennyson, wherever you may be in the universe.
Excellent comment. Thank you. It's a blow a current of air or wind through or remove a chaff from grain. So it's basically this wind blowing, a winnow. A winnow. I'm pretty sure, yeah, I only have one book, few, and by few I mean a lot of poetry by Elizabeth Browning, a lot of older type, you know, of poets. I think I have one by him. So he's quite brilliant. And you know, they're falling, you know, they're in pretty good condition. But you know, this piece, there were so many readings on YouTube to choose from and some theatrical versions, and I thought this one was definitely the best one. I was hoping for a Christopher Lee, you know, something like that, but I think this guy did a really good job reading it, for one. And again, the Kraken sleepeth, fainteth sunlight flee, the shadowy side above them swell, a huge sponges of millennial growth and height. I mean, you can just imagine. I don't think we would use the ocean as much as we do now if there were Kraken lurking about. I just don't think that that would be a thing that we would be doing. I think they would be cut off. So if Krakens were around today, I definitely do not think that we will still be as mobile in boat sailing as everybody else. I mean, as we are now. But
we might be cave dwellers.
That's what?
I said we might be cave dwellers trying to hide from him.
Well, and we just wouldn't be on the sea, you know. Just wouldn't be in the sea.
That would be horrible.
You know, we don't know what's down deep. Because I think it's like we've only, I always want to know the real percentage. But it's a very low percentage of the ocean that we've actually explored. I mean, we've put more time into going out into, you know, space than we have going down in our own ocean. So I think we really don't know what's down there. So, like, any, you know, maybe, okay, here we go. Just 5% of the Earth's oceans have been explored and charted. Like, can you believe that? That's a very low, low number. Like, we have not been to the lowest depth, so we definitely can't say what is down there. So, if you guys want to imagine the Kraken hiding out.
Yeah, well, there's spots that are so deep, we're not capable of going that far down. And you got to imagine that there are some things down there that have been around way longer than any of us, but they've learned to stay away from the predators that be man. So it is a curious thing to wonder what's down in all those. There's underwater caverns and there's little spots that go who knows where, and I do agree that there's knowledge to be gained from space, but I think more pertinent is in the ocean. One day it's going to take the whole planet back.
Well, I love looking at those creatures down below. There was really funny ones with the little lights. Have you ever seen those? I don't know what they're called. Not very good at typing and talking. But they're these funniest creatures, looking creatures that are down in the depths below that kind of adjusted to seeing no light. And I always love going on and learning about them, you know, in the National Geographic or Planet Earth. And there's that blue episode. I don't know why, it's just always been, I think I'm much more, a lot of people do like space things with documentaries, but I find myself always going toward the ocean documentaries. Maybe it's because I'm a Pisces, maybe it's because I like the water. So I definitely enjoy that type of exploration. So, we have Gerald Green. I do have some information about some cotton candy, but before we go into that, do you want to hear a song? That's prepared.
Well, sure. Is there any porno mags in it?
No.
I'm gonna change
that one. That one's definitely coming. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've always, I've been doing like a 90s vibe on the openings and the closing.
I've been enjoying the
I love that genre. I was a 90s child and I just love that genre. Before we move off from the sea and creatures of the sea, I thought we could enjoy a little bit of Davy Jones, and then we'll go from there. We'll talk a little bit about cotton candy, and then we'll drop Gerald, and then we'll talk a little bit about Lost Cities, again, ocean talk, and then we'll close out if somebody doesn't call. So here we go. Enjoy this. I know I'm gonna.
Cool and cold like winds on the sea, will you ever return to me? Hear my voice, sing with the tide, my love will never.
brilliant. And of course, that was the theme of Davy Jones, and was a cover. It was a cover done by a YouTuber. And the original was done by Hans Zimmer. I love him for the Pirates of the Caribbean series. Absolutely brilliant. Hans Zimmer was a German film scorist. I mean, it's a German film scorist and composer, record producer. His works are notable for integrating electronic music sounds with traditional orchestra arrangements. Since the 1980s, Zimmer has composed music for 150 films. His works include The Lion King, the Crimson Tide, Gladiator, Pirates of the Caribbean. And of course, we just heard a rendition of that. The Dark Knight, Inception, Blade Runner. And the list goes on and on and on. This man is just my hero for so many. I love film scores. It's something I do quite often. I like instrumental music. I tend to gear towards that when I listen to music. And one of the things I do love to do is film scores. And you'll know that even my 13-year-old godson, when he hears a film score, quite often he can tell what it is just because he gets subject to me listening to them so much. So if you put on certain
That's awesome.
Film scores, he's pretty good at catching what they are. Yeah, he likes instrumental music too. So, we both enjoy the Sterling and the pentatonic and things of that nature. So, it's pretty fun. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed that little song, Dad. It got kind of loud and then kind of quiet. I don't know. But,
No, you, all right, you know what
again.
Was strange about it?
Oh,
actually, that's the one I was trying to write to. I just never finished. I thought it would be something different. But there was something in the tone and the wording that added, I don't know if eerie is the right word, but it's the only one coming to mind. It would be like you could literally hear it in your mind when you were in the water looking at some of the stuff. The video that you added there was fascinating. And I thought that there was something in the tones that captured the way I felt when I was looking at the video. So that's pretty brilliant. And I had never heard it before. So that was pretty cool, too. So I guess you're tapping a little culture into my brain, too, tonight.
I'm going to drop something for anybody who's listening and for you really quick. Where am I? I just have to do this.
In a New England state, just saying.
I'm in a New England
state. Haha. Are you a state in the United States? A state?
Oh. I'm in a New England state.
Right. I didn't want to say where, so I just figured I'd put you in the lump in that New England section of America.
Oh yes, yes. Here in New England, it's nice and. It was really warm today. I was trying to get away from the AC, trying to give it a rest, but I got to tell you, I broke down. I broke down today. I'm not finding it at the moment. So what I'm going to do is, oh, here, I found it. Okay, so I'm just going to drop something on the board and... It's a link, and if you ever, or anybody who's listening, if you ever want to take time and listen to this, this is a personal playlist of mine. As you can see, it's a Die Dark Home YouTube, and I have an insane amount of on my YouTube channel because I really love music. But if you go onto that list, you will hear such wonderful stories that are told, like you said, Deb, in a bit of a haunting style. Some of them are quite fanciful, and as you can imagine, I like storytelling. So, I got Jabberwocky on there, obviously, some hobbits, and some really cool stuff. I would definitely, check it out if you like to listen to some new music and get some more inspiration there. So have fun with that, Jeff. Definitely listen to some of it later if you want. They're really good. But cotton candy. Did you know, Deb, that cotton candy was...
Yeah, it could be a little bit of underhanded brilliance there. That's like, you know, you go to the doctors and they give you a lollipop and then you get a sweet tooth and you got to go to the dentist and he just figures, oh, well, that worked pretty well. How about if I make some cotton candy, a.k.a. fairy floss, and guarantee my services for the forever? And cotton candy is good stuff. Sadly, I mean, you put that on your tongue and you get this big piece that just melts away into some sugary yum. It was brilliant.
I have a confession to make. I don't like cotton candy. I don't like a lot of sweet things. Even when I was a kid, I didn't like cake. My parents could never get me a birthday cake because I would never eat cake, so they got pizza because I never. And then when I got older, they came out with ice cream cake, and I could do that. But I didn't like those ho-ho Twinkies, frosting, marshmallows, cotton candy. I was not a fan. I was not a fan.
Wow.
But
sounds one of my daughters. She didn't like anything that's stuck in between her teeth. So she wouldn't eat any like a taffy. She didn't at the time like steak or a lot of meat because they stuck in her teeth. But she is the same way. Like she never really wanted a cake. So it was either you make a giant chocolate chip cookie and call it a cake, or you go to, well, I don't know if there's a Caravelle there, but you go to Caravelle and you get an ice cream cake, and those are always really good. But even now as an adult, if she has to eat cake, she likes black velvet. But she, you know, if she never had it again in her life, she wouldn't be upset, but it's the only kind she is okay with. But usually the kids are one way or another. Either they like the cake and they're not thrilled with frosting, or they eat the frosting and leave the cake sit there. It's not too often that you find one that doesn't like either one.
Well, I actually like it. I don't mind some cake. I'm not a huge fan of I do like the cake part. I just don't like the frosting. But not all cake. I'm not a huge, huge fan, but it's the frosting I'm really against, I guess. But I am a meat eater, so I'm definitely a carnivore, so it's not that. But even lollipops and hard candy, I had to stay away from anyway because I have a tough palate. I'm sure people can tell listening, but so I have this horrendous scar on the roof of my mouth, so I could never scrape hard candy on it. So that was never a thing that I could do anyway. But I do know a lot of people love cotton candy, so, or fairy floss over in Britain, as they say. But it is a fun, sugary confection that resembles cotton. And I'm actually gonna stop explaining this, because I think what I'm going to do, since no one wrote for this, I'm going to bring this one back, because I only have 3 prompts for my next show, and I'm going to tag it on to the next show. And I think I'm going to do that for the other 3rd prompt, and then just make 3 new ones and tag those on. So I'm actually going to save that info, last-minute change of plan, and I'm going to drop Gerald, who wrote about YouTube.
And the other two more. The other two, your 2 prompts have more in common, so it makes sense as far as water underwater, the Kraken, underwater, the city.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there's a tie-in.
Yeah. I'm probably going to just pass that on to another 3 prompt one. But I'm going to grab Gerald because he did something clever. He's always so clever, this guy. He wrote about general YouTube. And where am I? Let's see. Gerald Green. And he didn't pick one of the prompts, but he picked the idea of YouTube and the presentation that YouTube and all the content that YouTube has to offer, and he did a really great play on going down the tube at the very end, you'll hear it, you know, he talks about going down. And I think that it's just so clever because he brought it in such a unique way with the topic. So, all right, so I'm going to press play. I did something bad. All right, let's see. Gerald Green. There we go.
YouTube. Written in red by Gerald Green. Tubers fill fast servers with uploaded videos, captivating audiences in easy chairs, taking them places where the prudent will not go. Boys on bicycles ride the ridges, inches from disaster on each side, living on cheap thrills, explosive moments. Men in undusted garages take apart old solenoids and other stuff, repairing what is broken for the novice in his dusty garage. Hikers with their backpacks go on narrow trails making videos of their journey while recording every step and what they eat, and what they eat, and what they eat. Every concert ever given can be found, along with every song on planet Earth, as people upload more and more. Channels form and home subscribers pay, a little here, a little there to be a fan of the amateur. The timid watch the gifted live with envy and remorse for what they fail to do. And I am no different, caught in entertainment's swift current, taking me down, down, down. End poem.
That's my favorite part, the taking me down, 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 because the title of the show is Down in the Tube, so I have to believe that he's putting a pun in a bit of a spin on the show name, which I think is just absolutely brilliant. And I think the first one, you know, I always send him the invite link to these shows because, you know, he writes and he does such clever takes on it. And I remember the first one he did, he did also another spin on YouTube in general and how you can go and you can visit all the different places and you can do all the could see marvelous things, you know, with people who are unable to travel and unable to do things. And like I said, I've always liked documentaries. They've always been something that I've enjoyed. And the only thing is you have to watch out and make sure that the content, because there are some things obviously, because you know, despite what Hatter says, and not everything is on the internet is true. So sometimes you have to double check your sources, but that's like in everything in life, I guess. You got to double check your sources. But
absolutely,
as for something, that it is such a place of where he says that, you know, you can see all these things, and some people get kind of crazy and they post some things that, you know, I don't really want to watch. But you just gotta pick and choose what you want. But I love the way he goes through and he talks about, he plays that pun on going down the tube. And then, of course, he talks about bicyclists riding and the disaster. And I don't watch too many of those ones because it's just too much for me. I don't really like reality shows either, so I don't really go into too many of those. And I know there's a lot of, like, food travel things where you can go to different countries and see different food and they eat different food. And they even have that on television, too, not just on YouTube. But, again, it's not something that, too much that I watch. But I love how he goes through and explains all these things. And then, of course, you talk about subscribers and people make a living off some of their videos, and it's quite uncanny people that do that, and their supporters, and for people that are creating music and parodies and things like that, and it does show a little bit of support. So I can't say that I don't support supporters of fandom YouTubers, but this was brilliantly done. I just think I love the end. Am I no different? I'm caught in entertainment's swift current, taking me down, down, down. And he doesn't quite say the tube, but you get the point. And this was just so unbelievably clever. I really enjoyed it, and I'm so glad that you had time to write for me today, Gerald. Thank you. Deb, what do you think?
Well, I think that brilliant is the right word. I find myself telling him that a lot as well, because he always, excuse me, always goes in a direction that you would never think, and there's unexpected pleasure that you get, like, wow, you know, and he's got this mind where he fills us with details, and he leads us this way a little, and then we're like, wait, when did that shift? How did we get here? And that, too, is really brilliant. And I have to admit that the enthusiasm that he got from the down, down, down was awesome. I mean, it's cool when we know that the people who wrote for the show tailor it to us. You know what I mean? Like, you feel like, you know, does anybody even care whether we're out here doing this or not? Well, yeah, they do, because they keep doing these little things, like desensitize us against maggots or whatever the case may be, just to show that people are listening to you when you talk and stuff like that, you know? And I think that was a delightful treat. And you know, every time I turn around, Gerald and his wife are somewhere else in the world, and I think that's incredible. They're off on these adventures together, and he picks up all kinds of great wit along the way, and then he comes and shares it with us. And, like, to be out, I think on my last show, he accidentally wrote for one of my topics for, like, next month. So I said to him, well, you know, you can absolutely have that, but you know that that's for next month, right? He goes, oh. And here, while on a camping trip, he still came up with one for that night. So he's really awesome. He goes out of his way. And I just, since I know he does listen to the shows, I want him to know that we all appreciate him tons.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the SoundCloud. That makes it, I love when poets read their own work. So it's so nice to be able to hear it in his voice, and that he takes time to not only write, but also do the SoundCloud. And I'm still not over the bubble wrap poem. I just love his bubble wrap poem. I don't know if you caught that one, but I did the bubble wrap wallpaper one, you know, how it was first invented. And he just wrote this obsessive, compulsive popping poem, and it's true. Very true. But thank you, Gerald, very much. Yeah. Okay, I always talk about the next show, even though it is a bit away. I have it ready before the end of the shows that I do, so that I can just give a little bit of information out. And like I said, those other two subjects besides the Kraken, and I'm going to integrate them later in life. So you might see them sporadically pop back up in one of the topics. But next month, just so that you know, I just put it up for all the listeners. If you listen to the playback, it is going to be the Eye of Sahara. So in Africa. And then I have the Lobster Tree in Ball's Pyramid. If you want to know what that is, you're going to have to go look at the topic list. But it's pretty cool. If you like creepy, another creepy crawler thing for Deb to scare the crud out of me. I mean, you don't have to go that way every time, but there are some creepy crawlies there. And then I've got a really cool one, and I really enjoy it. And I don't quite know how people are going to turn this into a poem, but I'm looking forward to see how they do it. And if push comes to shove, it says right there, you can just write about, you can just literally describe the colors. And it's called a little thing, an optical illusion called chromatic adaption. And it's when our eyes kind of adjust for color and make us see color during certain spaces that there is no color. So it's a cool video. Check it out. I would advise you to blow up the video and not just look at it in a little box that make it your whole screen of your computer and watch it. It's a cool little optical illusion and a way that our mind works and overcompensates through so quickly. I mean, it's insane. Those are the three prompts for next week. I'm going to, like I said, reintegrate two of them later on in life. And I hope you enjoyed going down the tube with me, Deb.
I did. I had fun. The slide was awesome.
The what?
The slide. You know, you slide down the tube. Woo!
Oh. I'm not getting jokes today. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Like terrible.
It's all right. If you didn't get it, it must have been a real winner of a joke. It's all good.
No. It's not. I promise you, it's not you. I'm not great at jokes. I promise you, it's not you. But guess what we're closing out with? Another Third Eye Blind song. And this time I'm going to talk about the band itself, not specifically the song, facts about the song. But the band Third Eye Blind is an American rock band formed in San Francisco, California, 1993. The songwriting duo of Stephen Jenkins and Kevin Cuttergan signed the band's first major label recording contract with Elektra Records in 1996. The band released their self-titled debut album in 1997, with the band largely consisting of Jenkins, vocals, rhythm guitar, and Cuttergan, lead guitar, and I'm not thinking of Salazar, bass, and Brad Hargraves, the drums. And shortly after the releases of the band's second album in 1999, Blue, with the same lineup, Cuttergan was released from the band under controversial circumstances. And I don't know why we're not going to get into that. But to enjoy, this is Deep Inside of You, another great one. It's a little bit of a slower one. I try to pick the upbeat ones and then the slower ones that I like at the end, not mellow out after. But that is it for Down the Tube.
Fun show, Sky. Yes. Love and respect.
Thank you.
I'm Deep inside of you.